This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Kevin Ewell Page. Kevin is the Deputy, I'm going to make sure I get this right, Kevin, okay, right? I'm going to do it one time and then not, but Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the Federal Acquisition Service within the General Services Administration. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did, and that's a lot of service.
Yeah, it's a lot of service. So, yes, and it's great to have you on the show, Kevin. And, you know, Kevin, what we're going to talk about and with regard to ITS, just across the board, is what you're up to, what you're doing there, what ITS is up to with regard to, you know, supporting its customer agencies. But, you know, one of the things before we start the show, you mentioned that you do a lot of work with regard to mobility and, you know, the mobile workplace and providing the government employees, you know, the tools that they need or agencies they need to do that. And we had a guest on the show last week, Chris Hood from CB Richard Ellis, who talked about alternate workplace strategies and how much money can be saved by hoteling and working remotely and that kind of stuff. So, you know, so with that, I mean, it's a great, great sort of, you know, first question. Can you talk a little bit about what ITS and FAS and GSA is up to in that space?
I'd be happy to. And first, thank you for having me here today. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you.
You know, Kevin, I have to tell you, you know, that was great. That was a great introduction. You know, you're one of the first people who actually said, thank you for having me on the show at the beginning. So, so thanks. Anyway, go ahead.
We're actually delighted at GSA to be engaged in the mobility and enabling mobility across the federal government on many dimensions. First of all, we've been working with the Office of Management and Budget on their digital strategy and how that would be enabled through a mobility strategy. And we'll be asked as part of that in GSA to create platforms for the support of mobile devices to make sure that we know where they are, that they're secure, and that they're being procured at leveraged prices across the federal government. So that's in a very exciting emerging area for us in ITS. And of course, GSA is involved itself in a massive experiment and an effort to gain true efficiencies through its own headquarters operation, which is in the middle of being transformed. We're about to move from, I think, three separate properties in the D.C. metropolitan area into one facility in downtown D.C., which we think will save the taxpayer $29 million per year when we're all moved in. And it's going to feature really a modern workplace with low cubicle walls, no offices for anyone. We'll all be working in a very collaborative open space that we think will not only save a lot of money, but enhance the creativity and the energy in the workplace. We've seen this emerge in good practice in the private sector, and we're very ambitious in and anxious to pilot this for the federal government as well. There are a lot of federal agencies that are about to embark on this journey to cut down on the square footage that they're consuming. And so we are actually in ITS going through right now a series of waves where we are moving our 400 employees right now through four separate wave exercises where we're untethering ourselves from our desks at this moment. I have 100 employees who are not at their desks, who are working remotely from either a customer work site, their home, or another GSA location that's not their desk. So that we can test this for... Anyway, I'm going on and on.
That's great. It's great. And from what I understand, right, you guys are going, you guys being GSA, you're going to 1800 F Street, you know, back at the old GSA headquarters, right? And I think PBS is still there right now. Public Building Service is still there. And I think it's about, you correct me if I'm, about 6,000 employees or 6,600 employees. And it's going to, there's only going to be about 3,000 workplace, I mean, actually desks or whatever you want to call them,
right,
for people. So you're talking about people working remotely 50% of the time, or at least, if not more, right?
I think the numbers, I couldn't swear to those exact numbers. It may be a smaller number of staff who are ultimately going to be, we're not moving the National Capital Region folks, for example, into the facility. But it will be, I think, reducing our footprint by about half. And it is out of this realization that the modern worker in the kinds of industries that we're in the federal government, spends at least 30 to 50% of their time away from their desk, either through working on a customer site or in concentrative work in team rooms or elsewhere. So yes, we will be hoteling right up to the senior executive service level, and we'll be in bullpens working together to do the right thing by the taxpayer.
Right. And so, what do you see from what you've experienced? You're doing this way, 400 folks, and you have them working remotely in terms of the technology, which I guess is where you're dealing with and how you connect all those people. What have been you've seen as the biggest challenges?
Well, GSA has been going first in a lot of respects with in terms of collaboration and in terms of experimenting with more efficient ways to operate the government. We have recently, for example, migrated off of a legacy email system to a Google Mail system that is based in the cloud. And we took all of our 17,000 Google Mail boxes over a weekend and converted them to the cloud, into the Google Mail cloud, saving about $15 million over the next 5 years. And of course, enabling some interesting new features like the ability to do video chat over Google, which people are using quite a bit, and the ability to do live chat just to see if people are around. You can quickly use chat. We've also moved to a Salesforce product which we use. It's almost like a Facebook for work. We can do real live updates about what we're working on, ask people around in a very non-hierarchical way, who knows the most about this subject in GSA. We're able to find an expert in minutes where before we were never able to find anyone, or it may have taken much longer. So we're using these collaborative tools in conjunction with the space changes to really radically change the way we operate, the way we think as an organization, the way we react to customer, and the way we react to emerging technology. So it's a multidimensional cultural change, technological change, and of course, all of that comes with, it's not a bumpless path. I mean, there are issues that do come up rotate through this.
Sure. In terms of culture, is one of the things that you're trying to do is communicate to your employees is that this is good for you in the long run? I mean, first, it reduces, GSA's costs, of paying for buildings that aren't, or in spaces that aren't being used, so that, I mean, to bottom line, that makes sure people still, have jobs and can get paid and that sort of thing. Is part of that just trying to, make people understand this is the new world we live in and it's going to be good for you, and actually it's going to make you more creative and have more efficient?
It's one thing to tell people all that, and of course we are talking about those things, but the reason we're doing these waves and the reason we're really testing it before we go, and the reason we are testing it at GSA before the rest of the federal government would go do it, is we go first in order to make some of the mistakes or to learn the lessons that'll let us do it more smoothly when it comes to game time, true game time. So we have learned things during the wave. Some of the technology in our meeting rooms, for example, the microphones don't work well enough to allow people in remote locations listening in fully participate in the meeting. So we'll be working through technological answers to that that will enable us to be more efficient and effective in the way we handle meetings.
Well, one of the things that I think is a great symbolic and frankly a leadership positive attribute that you mentioned is the fact that the SESs are going to be, hoteling and sharing space. That's a fabulous statement about GSA leadership in terms of, hey, look, this, we're part of this, and we as leaders of the organization are going to, we're going to demonstrate how this is going to work and how it's going to work well. So I think that's a great attribute. But right now, hey, Kevin, we do have to take a break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Kevin Ewell Page, Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS, the FAS, GSA. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. Today we are talking to Kevin Ewell Page. Kevin is the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS. Kevin, one of the things that I noticed looking at your bio is that you previously worked for the Department of Treasury. You were in the Office of the Procurement Executive. You were Deputy Director there, and you made a decision to come to GSA. I guess my first question is, why GSA? And then also talk about, you know, what you've learned since you've been at GSA or what maybe surprised you. First, why GSA?
Sure. It's a great question. And it was, for me, a very easy decision to make. But before I was at Treasury, I worked both in the private sector for federal consultancies, large and small. I've also worked at the World Bank doing infrastructure lending to governments in East Asia, and before that in the nonprofit sector. So the decision to go to Treasury was to in the first place, was really to come to government to do strategic sourcing and to make Treasury's program, make a go of it at Treasury, working there with colleagues I'd worked with in the past. I had a tremendous 7 years there. I learned a tremendous amount about what it meant to work within the federal government and not just for the federal government or consulting to the federal government, and it is different. But I could not pass up the opportunity when it presented itself to come and be at the very epicenter of strategic sourcing at GSA. It is GSA's mission to do the right thing for the federal government, to leverage the good practice and the spending of the federal government, and it was a tremendously exciting opportunity.
With that in mind, what's Mary Davey, the commissioner for ITS? You know, what she got you doing these days? Talk a little bit about that a bit more.
Mary has got me doing quite a bit. She's asked me to primarily play the role of the Chief Operating Officer of ITS. We have over 600 staff members, both in the DC area and around the country. It's a complex organization that is involved in missions ranging from very simple IT products and services to satellites in space. It's a vast program and a tremendously fascinating program. And I've been spending the last almost year that I've been in ITS making sure I understand the ins and outs, performing a review and beginning a kind of a top-to-bottom review of ITS that we've been undertaking, and helping ITS to think through from the customer's perspective and to walk a day in the customer's shoes how it is we deliver service and value. And to see what efforts that we can collectively undertake to do better on all fronts.
So, and what do you hope to, with regard to that, top to bottom review, what are you looking to do? Find new efficiencies, way to better organize the organization, how better respond to customers? Talk about that a little bit.
All of the above. When you get to GSA for the first time, if you're ever so lucky to be able to work for GSA, the first thing that you get struck by is that GSA is truly in the business of doing everything. You really can't imagine a functioning government that isn't touched, managed, supported by, or otherwise influenced by someone in GSA. So it's really, it's a fascinating place, and it gets right to the heart of many of our federal missions, or at least it plays an important role in many of our federal missions. So that was exciting. As I used the reviews, it was a chance for me to learn. There was a tremendous amount of energy and good work already going on, so I lay claim to none of it. But I was trying to educate myself quickly as to what the folks there were doing. And I think you asked me what surprised me as I joined. I was quite surprised at the energy and the focus that the folks there in ITS really have. And the dedication they have to doing the right thing by the customer.
So And Kevin, as someone who worked for GSA for 20 years, I truly appreciate what you have to say about, touching everything. One of the most interesting things about working in the procurement community is that you do get involved in agencies' missions. So it's not, you got to know contracting. You're a contracting professional, but you have to, but you learn a lot about lots of other things that other agencies are doing and how that contracting function supports, you know, the mission fundamentally for whether it's FBI or Department of State or whoever, you know, being able, playing that role, you get, you feel, really feel you make a contribution. So with that in mind, I did want to talk about contributions. One of the things that, you know, I know IATS is working on is a strategic sourcing vehicle for cell phones or PDAs, whatever. Can you talk a little bit about, you came to GSA to do strategic sourcing. Can you talk about what's up there?
Yeah. Well, actually it goes beyond. I was, at Treasury, I was working with Mary Davey before I came to GSA to help start the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, which is what how I first learned more about what GSA did from the federal angle. The cell phone procurement that's going on, the mobile procurement that's going on, wireless, I'm sorry, is what we're calling it.
Right. Hey, don't use, I'm not a techie guy, so, you know, I use cell phone.
That's all right.
My daughter looks at me funny. Like,
yeah,
oh,
that's,
really?
That's pretty old school these
yes,
days.
Yes, it is. Sure it is.
it's an ongoing live procurement. So we're in the midst of working through all of the angles. There's always an angle on procurements, but it is really an example of GSA using its convening power and its ability to bring the rest of federal government and the good practices that reside in the rest of federal government to bear on what is really a federal-wide problem. I'm always amazed at who might have the answer that helps crack the code or find the right sweet spot in the value proposition on a particular commodity or a particular innovative piece of technology. And it's not always going to be an answer that resides in GSA. It could be in the Transportation Security Administration. It could be in the Internal Revenue Service. And it's often not even here in D.C., the experts somewhere. But if we can find them, then all of a sudden, when it's elevated and brought into the GSA government-wide program, that value pervades everything that the federal government touches from then on. And that's powerful, the ability for a government to take its smartest idea wherever it is and make it available government-wide. So that's what we're doing with the wireless procurement. We're going to take actual good practices that have emerged from all of our federal agencies. We have, I think, 15 agencies who've committed to use this vehicle when it's done. And I'm positive that, like the other federal strategic sourcing initiatives, we'll have far more before the end of the day, but before the end of that contract joining. And that leverage means dollar savings in the bank and dollar savings back to mission that helps us raise taxes, helps us defend this country, helps us protect the food we eat. And, you know, so it's boring old procurement and it's just cell phones, but it really is about how the American people get the value they deserve from their government.
Yeah, with that regard, you know, on the cell phones, let me use that term, okay? for all you folks out there in the listening audience. Is one of the biggest challenges just figuring out what the government has or doesn't have and what it uses or doesn't use? Is that what you found?
It's always a challenge understanding what it is we do today. The government is a vast series of organizations, and each of them, for reasons of their own, have their own cultures, their own ways of operating, and it's very often difficult to get your arms around the current state in an area of spending in order to apply some rigor and some best practice to it. So very often in our strategic sourcing efforts, our first step is literally an effort to get a vehicle in place that through the use of it, we will gather more information that would let us in round two do even better and understand ourselves better so that we know what our requirement is and we can ask our industry partners and our vendors to do better in serving our needs.
Well, right now we have the need to take a break, Kevin. So when we come back, we'll be talking more to Kevin Ewell Page. Kevin is the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for ITS, FAS at GSA. And we'll talk a little bit more about defining, you know, talk about data and requirements. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Kevin Ewell Page. Kevin is the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for IT for the Integrated Technology Service at the General Services Administration. And Kevin, you know, we were talking when we took the break about, you know, the wireless or cell phone procurement, as I like to call it. You've been working with regard to, I think, as you mentioned, 15 customer agencies and just that strategic sourcing initiative. Can you talk just generally what ITS is doing with regard to helping aligning customers' needs and requirements or getting collaboration amongst your customers?
Yeah, sure. I think that's great. We're trying to, as just a part of our strategy going forward, to really make sure that customer stakeholder groups that exist or that need to exist are used or created, so that we're really talking to a broad variety of the customers out in the federal government. Great examples right now ongoing. We're in the midst of looking at our strategy for the next generation of telecommunications portfolio contracts, and we are engage in a very large lessons learned effort to see what went right, what went wrong in the way we're currently doing business. And we've reached out to over 150 different customers and stakeholders around government doing that. We'll be putting together with a group of CIO roundtables and panels a real strategy for the network services program going forward. And again, with direct customer input into that strategy. And finally, a portfolio strategy later on this calendar year to really direct us where we're going. So again, an effort where we're really reaching out as far hard as we can to make sure that our customers are engaged and working with us on these things. We need them to be part of our effort because it's where the leverage comes from. We're working the same kind of leverage model with the FedRAMP program, which is, of course, a relatively new program that is designed to allow only one authority to operate across multiple instances of a cloud solution so that we do not cost vendors money and ourselves money repeating security exercises, but rather leveraging exercises that have already been done across government. So that's a great shared service story and a way that we're working again with customers, DHS and NIST, and other customers.
So with FedRAMP, you're really talking about one sort of entity, one set of standards to the extent possible, right? I know there are unique things with DOD or whatever. So that, again, it sounds like so that contractors don't, you know, repeat the same process over and over and again.
That's exactly right. And the government, for that matter, every time we need to certify a new system, it needs to go through a security review and an authentication process. And it's complicated, and cybersecurity is obviously tremendously important. But to the extent that we're already accomplishing that in-depth review on a system for one agency, why wouldn't another agency want to be able to use the results of that review to speed their journey into the cloud? And that's what FedRAMP is doing for us. And for the federal government. I'm really excited. We're trying very hard to promote the cloud-first strategy. We've just put a request for information on the street that is for a cloud broker. We're calling it the Cloud Broker RFI, and it's really, we're trying to reimagine the business model for supplying cloud services to take advantage of the real revolutionary changes, both in the technology, but also in the business models that is at the heart of the cloud movement here. So there's a request for information out. We're having an industry day on August 2nd from 9 to 12 in the morning in Crystal City. I hope we'll get this out before, so that's not after.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We'll. And how do, can, I don't know if you got it off the top of your head, this is a quiz. How do vendors, you know, find out where to register? Where would they go if they want to come to that industry day?
That's an awfully good quiz. Roger, if I'd give my number out on the air, but I'm afraid of what might happen.
No, I don't want you to do that. So
You know, I'm sure it's on our website at gsa.gov/ITS, and yeah. And we'll be happy.
That's enough right there. People can use that to find it.
Happy to make sure that if we can provide a link to you at Federal News Radio as well.
Right.
So that's a really, I think we're really trying to revolutionize our program and portfolio of contracts to support cloud. And again, that's led through a multi-agency stakeholder group, the cloud group, that is helping supply those questions and those requirements for that effort. So again, GSA is not doing it by itself. We've got the rest of the federal government providing input each step of the way.
So what, so I have to ask this question. What is a cloud broker or brokerage system? So,
well, you know, it's a great question. The whole idea of cloud is that a lot of these that we provide service. We buy things as a service, so software as a service, platform as a service, or infrastructure as a service. And there are many different services. One service might be your email. Another service might be your human resources staffing system or your payroll system. And so each of these services might be available through the cloud. And a broker is really an agent that would help you to merge these services together to enable the services to work as a whole, to provide the business need that you need met, and to provide it in a more capable way.
So it's almost like they're the third party sort of, not, I wouldn't say integrator, but maybe a little bit you could use that terminology, that helps the agency, customer agency, figure out exactly the services it needs, and you have the cloud services available to sort of meet those needs, and put it together.
It could be integrator. There could be integrator roles, but more if you think about it, there are insurance brokers in the world too. And an insurance broker is basically helping you get the best price and the best match for your needs in the insurance market, which is a complicated market. So there you have it. We've employed solutions architects to help our customers really navigate some of the complexities of the marketplace out there, our current portfolio of contracts, as well as ways that they might go to market in the future with these new and emerging business models and technologies. Again, an attempt to be helpful to the customer to navigate the maze.
Right. And well, another one, I guess, you know, cloud migration.
Yeah.
You know, what is that?
Well, people have big data centers, and we're doing data center migration across government. It's been big news. And while you're doing data center consolidation, you often find opportunities to move applications to the cloud that would free up your own data center to be able to provide that service or that application at lower cost, a lower total cost of ownership. So as you're consolidating your data center, you might find that there are pieces of your data center that you'd like to migrate to the cloud and take advantage of the new business model to do better.
Right. And cloud does, you know, lower costs of
operation. It does. You know,
right?
Yes. When we took our email system off of its legacy servers, we retired 42 servers, and so we don't. That's stuff that don't need to be touched in our data center environment now, and that saves a lot of money.
And so, and one of the things you mentioned in discussion of the cloud or in aligning customers and that sort of thing is shared services. You mentioned that two or three different times. What does the shared services model, and what you're trying to do? How does what is that? I think it's what you do every day, but could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I think there are degrees of maturity for shared service. Of course, GSA exists to be a provider of shared service, but I think the shared service can exist on a continuum from, yes, we share certain contracts and do some of those things, more into the lines of business that have been in around government for quite some time, where we're actually, for example, the integrated acquisition environment is a single system that's a shared service to all federal agencies, saves a tremendous amount of money, and it reduces the redundant platforms and systems out there. And of course, we've done it with payroll and other things. GSA has an HSPD-12 shared service. We're serving over 650,000 federal employees their badges. And we can do it more inexpensively when we leverage the service and bring it into one place than individual agencies who frankly don't have time or the desire to go figure out how to do this credentialing. Why should they?
Yeah, why should they duplicate, what you have already done? And I would submit too that, that just GSA's GWACs and GSA's schedules across the board are a shared service platform that allows agencies to, you know, place orders quickly rather than creating a whole new set of contracts and then go and place an order.
So OMB
it saves
agrees.
Time and money.
That's true. OMB agrees with you, I'm happy to say. And so, yes, a shared contract can count as a shared service for the shared first strategy. And I think beyond sharing the contract, truly providing leverage behind that contract in terms of good practice and leveraged prices is how we would mature that model even further.
Right. Well, right now, Kevin, we do have to take our last break. But when we come back, we'll be talking more to Kevin Yule Page. Kevin is the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at GSA. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're talking to Kevin Yule Page. Kevin is the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the General Services Administration. And, you know, Kevin, we, in the last segment, we talked a lot about, you know, shared services. We talked about aligning customer needs to meet those requirements through shared services platforms. Can you, you know, for the listening audience, like walk through an example where you are doing that or you have done that, like how that process works step by step?
Sure. I think one great example of this, we've just completed phase one of it recently, was on helping customers collaboratively with industry develop some template statements of objective that would help customers quickly get through a cloud migration. This is all new stuff, and it's difficult for everyone to know the good practices. And frankly, everyone starts their journey during a data center migration or a cloud migration. They start in a slightly different place. So it's a rather daunting engineering challenge to give a prescribed statement of work that would get a particular agency through their particular set of issues to move to the cloud. And if you don't have the expertise or know the right questions to ask in the first place, it can be very daunting about even getting started. So we at GSA brought together and had been working with the Cloud PMO, which is an interagency group focused on cloud issues more broadly. And rather than trying to write statements of work that would get an individual agency through its engineering problem, we tried to develop almost a maturity model for the steps that it would take to get through a cloud migration. You start with an inventory. The second phase might be taking and virtualizing some of your applications. Your third phase would then be to move some of those applications into the cloud. And once we developed a maturity model, we were able to actually develop statements of objective. What would it take to get out of the inventory phase of an acquisition? And we worked that very carefully with our customers so that it met their actual need as they were thinking through their problem. We were able to turn to our special interest group on the industry side, where most of this expertise also resides, and ask them, great, if our objective is to inventory this group of applications and understand our current environment, what would it take you to bid on that and to provide us the best value and to really engage in a strong competition to bring the best services to government? And they provided all those comments to us pre-acquisition so that we now have templates that are on our website at www.gsa.gov/ITS that will allow our customers to get out of the gate much more quickly with their cloud migration problem. And these are contract agnostic. We've designed them to support the Alliant contract, but they could be used on any contract. The point was to do the right thing by the government, the right thing by the taxpayer. And it's a real example of where we used the government stakeholders to develop the requirement, the industry partners to validate that we were on the right track and that we had the right things in this statement of work so that we'll have a solution at the end of the day that works. And this was, of course, part of implementing the 25-point plan.
Right. And so, you know, that's interesting. It really does speak to GSA's role as that sort of connection between government and industry and trying to help customer agencies figure out their requirements and create an effective framework for companies, the private sector, to meet those requirements. Hey, can you talk a little bit about Alliant and what's going on there? You mentioned Alliant and these templates and the fact that you designed it, in part for that, but could be used for any type contract. You know, what is really going on there right now? Is anything interesting that you want to talk about?
Alliant is in some sense our flagship GWAC contract, but it's one of many GWACs that we have that also exist to support small business in the GSA GWAC fleet. And we're seeing tremendous growth on Alliant right now. It's proven tremendously useful. We used it, for example, for our Google Mail move. And so it can be used today for cloud applications. Essentially, it's scoped so that anything IT can be procured using the Alliant contract, literally anything in the federal enterprise architecture. And so we're seeing a tremendous uptick. We've had a lot of support also from a variety of different directions in general, both GSA and frankly others, but that GWACs represent a good practice. We had OMB in a memo back in June 2008 in their guidance for improving the management and use of interagency acquisitions. They designated GSA as a GWAC executive agent. The Office of Federal Procurement Policy asks everyone to look at GWACs before you go out and cut your own contracts to make sure that they wouldn't work for you. There's a recent July 4th memo last year encouraging the use of 8A STARS, which is a GWAC that really helps get to some of the businesses that we're required to under law get to. And the Department of Navy recently in April issued a policy stating that the Alliant was one of their preferred vehicles for procuring IT services in the Navy. So we're having a lot of success with the entire GWAC fleet right now because they really do fit and meet an important need, and used properly will drive best value.
Okay, so you've mentioned two of them. There's Alliant and there's 8A STARS. And 8A STARS is for small disadvantaged businesses. What are the other?
Under the 8A program.
Yeah, under the 8A program. What are the other GWACs that you have?
We have the VETS program, which is targeting our veteran-owned businesses. And if there were ever a time in our nation's history when that ought to be a priority, it's now. And of course, we have the Alliant Small Business Contract, which is the sister contract to Alliant itself that's targeted at small businesses to make sure that we get them their share of federal spending.
Right. And you do have networks, right, as well?
Yes.
Right? And what's going on with networks these days?
We sure do. We are very, very close to completing the transition to networks. There are only 12 agencies left who have are still on the old FTS 2001. And so that is... we're very happy about that and the progress that we've made in the last year to blow through the remaining obstacles to getting on networks. And of course, we're as we've looked at the lessons learned through the networks program, we're finding quite a few strengths of the program, and frankly, some areas that we'd like to see ourselves do better in the future. And as I mentioned in a previous segment, we're working very closely with the CIO roundtables and to develop new governance for the network program, make sure that it's being governed at strategic levels, because it's becoming ever more a strategic part of each agency's IT portfolio. And we will be thinking through a strategy for providing network services in highly innovative and integrative ways in the future, to really break down the silos between network services per se and the rest of IT. The convergence is here. Right. And so we're ready to converge in ITS.
Right. And so, hey, so one, one last sort of question, because we're getting close to the end, and I think I'm remiss because I meant to ask it earlier, but data and the need for data and versus requirements, or do you see at GSA that data and getting that data about what people are buying is something your customer agencies are asking you for, and are you using it to try to figure out how to define requirements?
Yes, and we need to take it to altogether new levels, and we do hope to do that with our customer agencies as we iterate through strategic sourcing vehicles and our network services 2020 type efforts. Data and data strategies around data and procurement data are at the heart of doing better buying and smarter buying. And every instance in which we've engaged in deeper dives into understanding our own spending profiles has resulted in tremendous savings to the taxpayer and enabled us to understand what we're doing and how we need to do it better going forward. So we do have teams thinking about innovative ways to use the data we already have, and we have significant amounts. And then we're working through how we would close some of the gaps in other parts of our portfolio that would let us double down on this emerging.
Do you see the data coming from your contractors, from internally, both? How does that work?
Yeah, so we're in an age of big data now, and these data are going to come from everywhere, and they're going to come from Twitter feeds, and they're going to come from all kinds of places I can't imagine right now. And we're getting ourselves into the mind frame that using sentiment analysis combined with FPDS data mashed up with input, combined with what we see in the federal budget documents, is going to be among the ways that we might carve up the universe and see what trends are emerging and what opportunities exist.
Well, that sounds really, you know, exciting and interesting stuff in terms of trying to figure out how to move forward and do better acquisitions through the use of data. Kevin, you know, we've reached the here's a data point. We've reached the end of our show today, but I want to thank Kevin Ewell Page, Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the General Services Administration, for joining me and talking about what's up at ITS. You've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.